God, you have to stand there justified. That word is a very important Bible word, but that means declared righteous, just as if you had never sinned. And how does a person become justified? It is through faith in Jesus Christ. God is the justifier of him that believes in Jesus. That's what the Bible says. So we're not justified. God doesn't look at us and he doesn't say, that person is righteous because we do something good. No, all of our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. We're disqualified from heaven apart from the grace of God. But when a person realizes that I am a sinner that needs saving and he comes by faith to Jesus, then that person is justified by receiving him, what he did for us upon the cross, his death, burial, and resurrection. And God gives us a gift of righteousness. And that's what it means to be justified. I'd like you to turn your Bible this morning, please, to the book of Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter number 10. Our theme this year, we would see Jesus. I've been introducing that theme the last few weeks. So far, I've preached some messages talking about seeing Jesus in his word. I preached some messages about seeing him in his sacrifice, focusing on his death, burial, and resurrection. I preached some messages on seeing him in his glory, how one day those who are impure in heart will see God. And so, which one have I not preached about yet? I'll give you a hint. It's right there. Seeing him in his people. And so where is the primary place that we see Jesus in his people? Church. All right, good. I heard a few like whisperings out there, you know. It's okay to be courageous. Church? Yes, church. That's right. That's the right answer. And so this morning, I want to preach a message. What's the big deal about going to church? And I think it's a good time for me to preach this message. In fact, I've had a desire to preach this message since the first of the year. And I think this is a good time and the right time as we're getting close to the end of the Omicron wave. Praise the Lord. I think this is a good time for me to challenge us all today about the importance of personal participation in the local church. This pandemic has lasted for almost 2 years, and folks, it's had a big effect on people. It's had a big effect on our lifestyles, our habits, and things like that. And we've heard about getting back to normal until we're tired of even hearing the phrase. And yet I think this is the right time for me to preach this message. Is it important? Is it a big deal to go to church? All right, just do me a favor here. This is what you call kinesthetic learning. If you're awake this morning, raise your right hand. Okay, and if you're still awake, raise your left hand. All right, and if you're still awake, raise both hands. Yeah, okay. All right, I'm glad to know that you're with me here. Okay, and we all got our calisthenics in as well. Is it important to go to church? Yes, it is. Amen. But you know what? In our community, over the years, as I've gone out and I've met people, knocked on doors, I've talked with people in different contexts, at their doorstep, in my office, wherever, I've talked to lots of people who claim to be Christians, but they don't go to church. They say things to me like, oh, sure, I'm a Christian. Sure, I have faith in Christ, but I don't think I have to go to church to worship God. You know, I have my church here at home. I have my church out in nature, you know. I have my own private church. I think one of the most interesting responses I get when I ask people, hey, do you have a church home of your own? Oh, yeah, sure, I do. Oh, great. What is your church? And honey, what's the name of that church we go to? You'd be surprised how many times I've heard that. I always chuckle, man, you must go there a lot. Can't even remember the name of it. It's not uncommon to meet people who say they have faith in the Lord, but they haven't been in church in years. But this isn't just a problem in our community, you know. Overall, church attendance is on the decline in America. And there are different surveys that have been done about this. Nearly 40% of Americans say they attend church regularly, but that's not really true, okay? There are better statistics that indicate that the actual percentage of Americans in church on any given Sunday is less than 20%. Isn't that interesting? 40% say, oh, I go to church, and yet the reality is probably less than 20%. That was pre-COVID, by the way. I have no idea what it is now. I'm sure it hasn't gotten better. And even many people who regularly attended Bible preaching churches in the past and claim to be born-again believers are in the process of becoming less faithful in church. Because in our society, there's just so much fun stuff to do, so many other things that we can do than go to church. We have our sports. We have our family activities. We have vacations. We have work responsibilities. We have the cares of life. And so people say today, hey, can I just listen to the podcast later? Can I just watch it on YouTube later? You know, can I just, you know, get up late on Sunday morning, and crawl out to the living room, fall into my easy chair, and watch the live stream in my pajamas? I mean, what is the big deal about actually going to church? Is it a big deal? Or is this idea that Christians should be faithful and they should be frequent in their church attendance, is that an idea, just an outmoded, old-fashioned standard from the past that we can safely do away with? Now, in the past, you know, I'm now over 50 years old. I hate to admit it. So I've been alive for over half a century now, and I've been a Christian for quite a long time. Over 40 years. And I've attended many different churches in my life. And I can tell you that in the past, even in my own lifetime, in the past, serious Christians believed it was important to be in church whenever the doors were open. That was the idea, okay? Serious Christian people, if the doors are open to church, I'm going to be there unless I am providentially hindered, which basically means that you're sick or you're just physically incapacitated and unable to come. I'm going to be there. If the doors are open, I'm going to be at church. That was the idea of the past. So were those people right, or was that idea of being in church whenever the doors are open, was that just a cultural adaptation of the times that has outlived its usefulness now? Have we now arrived at something better, some new and better idea? Well, let me just say, in case you're wondering, going to church and going regularly to church is a big deal. I want to make that clear right here at the outset of this message. And so this morning I want to explain why from really one of the best known passages about church attendance in the Bible. This verse that we're going to look at today clearly spells out one of the most basic, one of the most essential ingredients of Christian practice. And not only that, it has special relevance to the times in which we are living today. Okay, the writer of Hebrews speaks to us down through the halls of time. From over 2,000 years ago, he speaks to us with a message for believers in these last days. Let's read it. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. And so much the more, there's the idea of frequency in our church attendance. And not forsaking, the first two words, that's the idea of faithfulness in our church attendance. And so this morning, I want to share with you from this passage six reasons why frequent, faithful church attendance is a really big deal. It's a really big deal in the sight of God, and it's a really big deal for the sake of His people. Number one, church attendance is a really big deal because the Bible expects it. Because the Bible expects it. Look again at our verse, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. Folks, right there you have a description of the expectation God has for His people. This should be a given. Okay, the wording here in this verse has almost the force of an imperative, and it is expressed as a negative. It is telling us something that we are not supposed to do. What are we not supposed to do? We are not supposed to forsake. The word forsake means to abandon something. It means to leave something behind, leave it in the lurch, to desert something. And it is written in a tense that describes a process happening over time. So what God says is that we are not to get involved in a process of forsaking church, of abandoning the assembling of ourselves together in church. That is what we're not supposed to be in the process of abandoning, assembling ourselves together. And I want to show you something about that word as well, because that word is only used one other time in the Greek New Testament, and I want to show you the verse where it is found. It is found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse number 1. The Apostle Paul in that verse says, "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and by our gathering together," there's the word, "our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind or be troubled, neither by spirit nor by word nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand." Now, if you were with me for our series on the rapture not too long ago, you know what Paul's talking about in this passage. He's talking about the day of Christ. The day of Christ is the day of the rapture. And the gathering together there is talking about the gathering together of believers in the skies to meet the Lord Jesus in the air. And here in our text in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 25, the gathering together, the assembling of ourselves together, same word, is talking about the gathering of believers here on earth in the local church. And guess what? The gathering together of believers in the local church on earth is just a foretaste of heaven, of our gathering together in the skies. Folks, when the Lord Jesus blows the trumpet and He comes for us, we're going to have church in the skies. And now we have it here on earth. That's what it means to assemble together. And so if you say that you are looking forward to being with God's family in heaven forever, oh, I can't wait until we can have church in the skies, then you should also be eager to gather with your church family on earth for a few hours each week. Amen. I mean, if you don't like fellowshipping with God and His people in church very much, then you probably wouldn't like heaven very much, because that's what heaven is. Our gathering together unto Him, Christ. That's what it is. Folks, heaven is not some magical playground in the skies where people just get to run around and do whatever they want to do. Heaven is a place where Jesus is. It's all about Christ. God's will, His plan, and His expectation is for every believer to regularly assemble with a local church. You know, sometimes when pastors preach about church attendance, people kind of get kind of a jaded attitude, you know, kind of, oh yeah, you know, I've heard that before. Pastors are always harping on going to church, you know. And folks, this admonition I'm preaching to you today is not something that pastors made up to fill up pews. I didn't write Hebrews 10 and verse number 25. This is God's word. This is talking about one of the most basic demonstrations of obedience to Jesus Christ. If you say Jesus is Lord, then it should be a big deal to you to be in church, because it is a big deal to Him that you are in church. The Lord Jesus Christ invented the church. You understand that, right? He invented it. He ordained it. He laid the foundation for the church in himself. He is the stone that the builders rejected that has now become the head of the corner. Folks, the Lord Jesus had to shed his blood and die upon an old rugged cross to establish this thing called the church. The Lord Jesus is building it today. You say, what is Jesus Christ doing in this world today? He is building a building called the church. That is his work. And guess what? He is in the regular habit of assembling with his people. What does the Bible say? Matthew 18, verse number 20. The Lord Jesus said, "For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." And if you go back and you read Matthew chapter 18, you will see the context there of that statement by the Lord Jesus Christ is talking about the assembly of the local church. In fact, that chapter has one of the few uses of the word church in the Gospels. So if you're following the Lord, if you say, "I am a Christ follower, I name the name of Christ, I am a Christian, I am a little Christ," if you are a follower of Christ, you will follow him right into church, because that's where he goes whenever the doors are open, and that's where he expects his followers to go as well. So, is it a big deal to go to church? Yes, because the Bible expects it. And guess what? I could end the message right there, couldn't I? Because once we know our Lord's will, there's nothing really more that needs to be said. I mean, that pretty well should wrap it up. You say, "Yeah, let's wrap it up." You know, that was the shortest message you've ever preached. But there are some other reasons in the passage, so let's just make sure we get all the reasons here. So, second reason why frequent faithful church attendance is important: because some are abandoning it. Because some are abandoning it. Would you look again at the verse? "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together." What is the next phrase? "As the manner of some is." The word "manner" is a word that means custom or habit. In fact, the Greek word is ethos. It's the word that we get our word ethic from. So some had developed a new ethic of forsaking the assembly of the church. Evidently, the writer of Hebrews had observed that some professing believers had gotten into the habit of not coming faithfully to church or dropping out of church. The same thing that is happening today was happening in his day as well. But why is there a pervasive problem with attrition in the church? Why is this manner of some to forsake the regular assembly of God's people in church? Why does this process happen? I think there are two reasons suggested in here in our text. Okay? The first reason that people forsake the regular assembly with God's people is because sincere believers can fall into bad habits. Otherwise, why would he give us the exhortation? Why would he encourage believers not to forsake? Because it can happen. It can become a bad habit. You know, I think that's very relevant for us to think about this morning after 2 years of this pandemic. Because if there was ever a time to form bad habits, it was this last 2 years. And guess what? Lots of people have formed bad habits. You know, the sinful flesh, we all, as born-again Christians in Christ, we still have a sinful flesh. You understand that, okay? There's still a part of us that is prone to sinning, prone to wander. "Lord, I feel it," like the songwriter said. So we have a sinful flesh. The sinful flesh is prone, it is subject to two forces: the forces of spiritual inertia and the force of spiritual friction. Spiritual inertia, spiritual friction. What am I talking about? What is inertia? Inertia is that property of an object that makes it difficult to get it into motion. Okay? You think about your child lying in bed on a Saturday morning, doesn't want to get up, okay? There's some inertia there. You know, that's why you got to pry him out of the bed. All right? And then friction is that force that tends to slow something down once it is in motion. Okay, and so those are both physical forces in the physical world, but they're also spiritual forces in the spiritual world. Our flesh has a hard time getting moving for God. And if it is in motion, it tends to want to slow down. It tends to want to begin to cool down, to begin to slack off for God. For example, can I just give you an example? You know, a few months ago, we got Sunday school started again at our church. And I've got to tell you, that was a great day. I mean, that day, that first day we had Sunday school, man, I tell you what, our Sunday school classes were full. My class was full. I mean, we had like 30 people in the fireplace room. It was awesome. And guess what? Since then, spiritual friction has set in. And we've already started slacking off on being faithful to Sunday school. Why? Because we have a flesh. We have a flesh that wants to sleep in just a little longer on a Sunday morning. We have a flesh that wants to stay up really late on a Saturday night. We have a flesh that says, I want to be comfy and happy and please myself. And so as believers, we are always working with this issue. The Bible says the flesh wars against the spirit against the flesh. They do not work together. So we must walk in the Spirit and maintain faithful obedience to God's Word and not give in to the inertia and the friction of the flesh. I want to suggest to you this morning, lovingly, that now is the time to scrape off the sluggishness of pandemic life. Because Hebrews 10:25 is still in the Bible, right? The Lord did not say, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together until the pandemic comes. And then all bets are off. No, it's time to scrape off the sluggishness and be faithful. Let me just say, if you are a newer Christian, if you're just getting into the habit of being faithful in church, then I would encourage you, stay in motion, okay? Keep on going. That's great. I understand it does take time sometimes for people to develop the right spiritual habits in their lives. And this is one of the most important ones that you can develop as a Christian, of being faithful in church. But you know what? If you've been in the habit of being frequent and faithful in your church attendance and participation, then don't quit. Don't slack off. Don't slow down. Don't let the flesh have its way. We need this exhortation because sincere believers can fall into bad habits. And then the second reason we need the exhortation, the second reason people forsake the regular assembling in church is because others are apostatizing from the faith. They are apostatizing from the faith. I know that's a long and difficult word there, apostatizing. I'm going to explain what it means. But first, let's take a look at verse number 26. I want to show you the context here around Hebrews 10:25. Now, I just read 10:25. Now, look at verse 26. For, because if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sorer punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden underfoot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. Now, what those verses tell us is that evidently some who were in the habit of forsaking regular church attendance were also in the process of forsaking Christ himself. That once they had claimed his name, but now they were turning their back upon their previous profession. And you know, that's one reason still today why many people drop out of church. They drop out of church because they are in the process of rejecting the truth of God's word. Well, they may have heard the truth. They may know the truth. They may even have claimed in the past to believe the truth. But now they are forsaking it. That's what it means to apostatize. It means to forsake the faith. Maybe they don't drop out of church all at once. Sometimes it's a process. Okay, maybe they forsake a Bible preaching church for a more liberal, progressive church, or maybe a cult. And then the next step often is that they fall out of church completely. They are on a long-term life trajectory of forsaking church and forsaking Christ. And over the years, folks, I've observed this happen in the lives of many people. As a pastor, I've seen many who have either forsaken church completely or they have formed bad habits of irregular, unfaithful church attendance. And usually it doesn't turn out well for them or their families, just from personal observation. Can I just tell you that as a pastor, the people that I am most concerned for in the flock are those who are becoming less faithful and frequent in church. You know, I have a personal prayer time for our church family most Saturday nights. I try to pray through all those who are members and attenders of our church. Pray through the whole list. And one of my most frequent prayer requests for people as I'm praying through the list is, help him, help her, help that family to be faithful. Oh, if we could just be faithful. I'm always encouraged when a Sunday morning attender starts coming on Sunday nights and Wednesday nights. You know why that encourages me? Because that is a reliable indicator of spiritual growth in that person's life. On the other hand, I always get worried when people are missing. I always get worried when somebody who used to come three or four times a week slips back to Sunday morning only. Or gets into a habit of being hit and miss, because that trend almost always reveals a process of spiritual backsliding that is taking place in that person's life, unless it's due to old age or ill health. Okay, I recognize there are people that just can't come anymore because they're just not well enough to come. I'm not talking about those folks. They would be here if they could be. But I'm talking about people that are not incapacitated. They are not shut-ins, okay? Your faithfulness and frequency of participation and attendance in the local church is a reliable spiritual barometer of where you're at spiritually with the Lord. And the warning that we have here in this passage from the writer of Hebrews, he talks about people who are walking away from Jesus Christ, and the warning is, hey, don't be like those people. Don't follow their bad example. Don't be like people who drop out of church. Don't follow in the footsteps of the apostates who are forsaking Christ, who are on a long-term trajectory of walking away from God's word in their previous profession. Don't let bad habits get started in your life. Don't become another casualty of the dangers of falling out of church. Don't entertain the deception that obedience to our Lord's commands is not really very important. Don't tell yourself that just a few Sundays won't matter, because it could be the start of a new bad habit. And don't get the trajectory of forsaking church going in your life, because it won't take you to a good place. And don't come out of the pandemic less faithful than you went into it. Don't come out of the pandemic less faithful than you were before. Why is church attendance a really big deal? Because some are abandoning it. Number three. Third reason why it's important: because the brethren need it. Because the brethren need it. Would you look again with me, please, at verse 25? What is the next statement? He says, but exhorting one another. That tells us the purpose for the admonition in this text. We should be faithful and frequent in church because we have a job to do, which is called exhorting. What does it mean to exhort? The word exhort comes from a root word that means to call alongside, to help or encourage. Okay, it refers to helpful speech. It refers to speech that is comforting, speech that is correcting, speech that has the purpose of propelling the saints forward in the will of God. Sometimes it means to cheer people on in the path of God's will because they're already walking in it, to cheer them on. Hey, you can do this. Let's do it. And sometimes it means to help them get back into the path of God's will. You know, you're going the wrong way. So let's get back onto the right road and let's go forward in the will of God. But folks, that word, exhortation, that describes in a single word the primary activity that is supposed to be taking place within the local church. It is a place where God's children are encouraged in Christ. The Holy Spirit, guess what? His name is the encourager. He is the one who lives within us, our resident encourager. And it is through His work that we are encouraged in the church. It is through His work that we encourage one another in the ministry of God's Word. That we encourage each other by our mutual fellowship. That we encourage each other by singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. That we encourage each other by helping and serving one another, by giving, by deeds of loving mercy, by exercising our spiritual gifts in the body. And even, we encourage each other by our presence. Even our presence is an encouragement. If you don't think that's true, have you ever gone into a church where there was nobody there? I remember one time my family and I, we went on vacation. We tried to find a church to go to on Wednesday night. So we found a church that seemed like a good, solid church. Man, they had a really nice big building. We drove up Wednesday night, a few minutes before the service. Our car was like the only car in a parking lot. We walked in. There was one other family there. We said, oh, great. Somebody else is here. They were also visitors. We walked in, sat down. Finally, the pastor came out. One or two people from his church finally drifted into prayer meeting. Let me tell you, I wasn't very encouraged. I went to gather with God's people and there was hardly anybody there. Even your presence makes a difference. Folks, and this is, we all need this kind of encouragement. Church is where God's people get their batteries recharged to carry them through another week. It's a place of a nursery, a spiritual nursery, where babes in Christ get fed and they grow up in grace. Church is a place where we strengthen one another to stand firm against the pressures of this world. Church is a place where we make each other better, like iron sharpening iron. Church is a place where we build each other up, where we hold each other accountable, where we warn each other when it's necessary, when we speak the truth in love. And folks, we all need it. Would you look again at that phrase, but exhorting one another. You see the one another there? That tells us that the exhortation that God has in mind is not just a one-way form of communication from the pastor to the people. I mean, exhortation is a part of preaching, but that's not the only kind we need. Okay? This kind of exhortation is a two-way form of communication. It is an every-way form of communication, member to member. Exhortation is not just a giving. It is a giving and it is a receiving. But you know what? If you're not in church, you can't encourage others and you cannot receive their encouragement. You need to be there. Your brothers and sisters in Christ need you to be there. So the body can function correctly and edify itself in love. Grammatically, if you look at this verse, there are really only two options in the text. Okay, the writer of Hebrews says you are either forsaking or you are exhorting. Those are the two options. That's the contrast. Forsaking is not God's will. Exhorting is God's will. That is his expectation. Going to church is a really big deal because what happens at church is a really big deal. You are your brother's keeper. Your life is not just about how you feel. It's not just about what you want to do, what you want other people to do for you. It's about what other people need you to do for them. That's what the body of Christ is all about. So don't just think of yourself. Because we all need each other in these last days. All right, and that brings me to my next point. Why is church attendance important? Because the times demand it. Because the times demand it. Would you look again at the passage? Look again at our verse. What does the next part say? It says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day there is talking about the day of Christ's return for His church. The day of Christ, I read to you about a moment ago from 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. It is the day of the rapture. And the word as has the idea of as much as. As much as. So the more that we can see the day approaching, the more we should be assembling ourselves together so we can be exhorting each other. Folks, that is a pretty significant statement. Let me tell you why. First of all, that tells us that the more difficult and discouraging things become in this world in the days before Christ returns, the more we should be encouraging one another as brothers and sisters in the body of Christ. The more hostile the opposition, the more perilous the worldly seduction, the more frequently we should be assembling ourselves together to strengthen one another, to stand firm against the pressures. And then also consider with me that that statement clearly implies that it will be possible for believers to see the day of the Lord's return drawing near. As you see the day approaching. Now some people say, we can't have any idea when Christ is returning. But the Bible does not say that. The Bible says we do not know the day or the hour. But it doesn't tell us that we can't have any idea. As a matter of fact, this verse tells us discerning believers will be able to tell that the day of Christ's return is drawing close. Do we see that today? Folks, we have abundant indicators. We're living near the end of the age, okay? Just a few I could mention for you. The reemergence of the nation of Israel, Jewish reoccupation of Jerusalem, worldwide apostasy from the faith, okay? These are some reasons that we know that we're living near the end of the church age. And there's not much time on the clock. And our Lord is coming soon. So we can see the day approaching. And so given the fact that we can see the day approaching, given the fact and the need for Christian fellowship, and that it has never been greater than it is at this time, how are Christians responding? Are Christians in our world today responding by gathering together more and more or less and less? Folks, it's less and less. It's less and less. For example, many evangelical churches just in the last few years have done away with their Sunday evening services. So there's a guy named Tom Rayner. He used to be the CEO of Lifeway. He is involved with a church consulting group. They do a lot of evaluation of trends in churches and things like that. And he cites some research on his blog. Shows a rapid decline in Sunday evening services in recent years. 50 years ago, many evangelical churches held 3 or 4 services a week, and now many just have 1 or 2. As far as I know, our church is one of the very few churches in Ottawa that still has a Sunday evening service. I mean, there may be a few others, but we would definitely be different in that regard. And not only that, Christians are also attending church less frequently, even when the doors are open. So even when there are services, they're attending less frequently. Tom Rayner says on his blog, 30 years ago, people were considered active if they attended 3 times a week, and now people are considered active if they attend 3 times per month. You know, that's a big difference. That's a big difference. He also says the number one reason for declining attendance in churches is that the members are attending less frequently. The members are attending less frequently. And again, that was pre-COVID, okay? Now, if you look at what he's talking about in his blog, he's talking about the new phenomenon of quarter-time members is what he calls them. What does he mean? He means those that come once a month. That's kind of the new thing. That's not a good thing. These trends that we can see so obviously, and I'm not talking about the liberal churches, folks. The liberal churches have been emptying out for decades. I'm talking about those that claim to be evangelical, those that claim to be Bible-believing. These trends are symptoms of the apostasy of our age. They are the symptoms of the cooling off of Laodicean Christianity. It's like nobody ever read this verse, Hebrews 10:25, in the Bible, or if they did, that they're ignoring it. They just don't care. The fact that so many churches and Christians are doing exactly what this verse says not to do, that they are diminishing the frequency of their assembling together in church at the critical time when we are supposed to be increasing the assembling of ourselves together in church, is a good indication that many, many who name the name of Christ have fallen asleep spiritually. And so what do we need to do? We need to wake up. This is no time to start dropping out of church. This is no time to allow your love for Jesus to cool. This is a time to stir yourself up. This is a time to get busy for God. This is a time to obey the Lord's will if we want to be ready for when the Lord Jesus comes. We need to be faithful and frequent in our participation and in the services of the church, and we need to be increasingly faithful and frequent as well. We need to commit to being present, and so much the more as we see the day approaching. Faithful church attendance is a really big deal because of the times in which we live, the dangers that we face. The times demand it, but most importantly, the biggest reason is because our Savior is worthy of it. Our Savior is worthy of it. I want you to look at verse number 19, please. I want to go to verse number 19. I want to show you the context before verse 25, okay? So let's look at this. The writer of Hebrews says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having an high priest over the house of God." Now, folks, that is the bedrock truth of this passage of Scripture. That is the foundation of the exhortation that we have in verse number 25. The foundation is we have a great high priest, and his name is the Lord Jesus, and his flesh was torn like the veil in the temple, and he opened the way to God for us through his shed blood upon the cross. And seeing all that is true, why would we choose to stay away from him or from his people? It's hard to understand Christians who say they love the Lord but don't really love being at church enough to make it a number one priority, especially if they have no trouble making time for the Chiefs, the Royals, NASCAR, their kids' sports, their favorite hobby, or whatever else it is that they love. What does the Bible say? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. He that loveth not his brother abideth in death. Folks, love for our brothers and sisters in Christ is one of the fruits of genuine salvation. And you know what? One of the very practical, one of the most basic ways that we show our love for somebody is by making time for that person. I mean, if you had a spouse, a parent that never wanted to spend any time with you, before long you would start wondering, does this person even love me? In the same way, it's hard to say that you really love your church family if you don't care enough to spend much time around them. And it's going to be hard to show your love to God's people if you don't even show your face at church. I mean, how are you going to show love if you're not even there? If you truly love Jesus, you will not find it hard at all to go to church. Because the more you love him, the more that you will want to draw near to him and to his family. I mean, if you really understand what it cost the Lord Jesus to make your salvation possible, for you to have a relationship of fellowship with himself, what it cost the Lord Jesus to give you a place in His family, to give you a seat at His table, to give you the pleasure of His company and the company of His family forever and ever, then you will want to go to church faithfully and frequently. It won't seem like a duty to you. It won't seem like a drudgery to you. If you really love the Lord, you'll want to be there. You will want to be faithful. It'll seem like a big deal to you to be faithful. Why? Because the love that Jesus showed you on the cross is a big deal to you. Because the blood that He shed in the payment for your sins is a big deal to you. So if you don't really want to go to church, you better figure out not why you're not loving church, but why are you not loving the Lord like you should be? I remember years ago visiting an elderly couple in our church who had been dealing with quite a bit of health trouble. They both had some health issues, and sat down with them in the visit, and I asked them in the course of the visit what they wanted me to pray for. I wanted to pray for them. I said, "What would you like me to pray for you today?" You know what? They didn't ask me to pray for their healing. They didn't ask me to pray that they would have, that their pain would go away. Anything wrong with praying for those things? Not at all. But you know what the number one thing they wanted me to pray for was? Pray that we will be able to get back to church. With tears in their eyes, they asked me to pray that they could come to church. That was the number one prayer request that this dear couple had, and I want to tell you, the love that they had for Christ was shining through. It was obvious. Not that they loved church, but that they love Jesus. That should be the heart attitude of all of us if we truly love the Lord. It's a really big deal to go faithfully and frequently to church because our Savior is worthy of it. And I have one more point. It's also a really big deal because our sacred duties require it. Our sacred duties require it. Would you look again now, verse number 22? I want to show you the rest of the context. Look at verse 22. Because all these things are true, we have a great high priest. He's opened the way to us. Verse 22 says, "Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Those verses tell us three things that we should be doing because the way to us, for us to God, has been opened up for us by our great high priest. We should be doing three things. Number one, it says we should be drawing near to God. Let me just put that up here on the screen, our sacred duties. We should be drawing near to God. That talks about our relationship to God. Our relationship to God should be, I'm getting closer to Him. Secondly, we should be holding fast to the profession of our faith. That's talking about a relationship to the world. Okay, to the world, we should be showing them a testimony, a firm, steadfast testimony of Jesus Christ. And third, we should be considering one another to provoke to love and good works. And that's talking about our relationship to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Our relationship to God's people, fellow believers. We should be thinking of one another, and we should be provoking. We should be stirring up one another. We should be urging people on to do what? Love and good works. Those three responsibilities are like three pillars that are built in this passage upon the foundation of our Lord Jesus' high priestly work. And then on top of all three of those pillars, stretching across them all, connecting them all together, we find our text, the exhortation of verse number 25, to not forsake the regular assembling of ourselves together. In other words, one of the reasons why it is a really big deal to go frequently and to go faithfully to church is because all three of the pillars, all three of these sacred duties, duties, these responsibilities that we have been given, all three of them are strengthened by regular church attendance. Are you with me? Regular church attendance brings us into closer fellowship to God. Pillar number one. Regular church attendance strengthens us to stand firm before the world. Pillar number two. Regular church attendance puts us into contact with believers who need to be loved and encouraged. Pillar number three. So, why is it a big deal to go to church? Six reasons. Faithful, frequent church attendance is important because the Bible commands it. Some are abandoning it. The brethren need it. The times demand it. Our Savior is worthy of it. And our sacred duties require it. That's God's plan. That's God's will. God's plan for His people calls for faithful, frequent, and increasingly frequent church attendance, especially in these days of apostasy, especially when the winds are blowing in the opposite direction, when the current is flowing in the opposite direction, especially as we see the return of Christ drawing near. It is not optional, but essential. It is mission critical. For ourselves and for others. And so the question is this: will you be faithful and frequent in your church attendance? And increasingly so. As we see the day of Christ's return drawing near, will you obey your Lord's will? Would you bow your heads with me, please? As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, I want to ask you to prayerfully consider how the truth that you heard today applies to your life.